Morning. Brishus the Rav, Brishus everybody here, thank you very much for coming. I'd like to start appreciation for the Kail, specifically Mayor Klein leading the board and making sure that we're pushed to the max, because it's said over that could be Hillel was Mechayev the Aniyim, and it could be the whole Gemara was Mechayev the Ashirim, etc. But in Yeshiva, we're told that all Baalabatim are Mechayev Yeshiva Baruchim and Kol Yungalite. And if Baalabas can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and learn Daf Yomi for an hour or 2 hours before davening, then Yungaman has to be able to do that as well. And I don't want to keep going because it can get very overwhelming sometimes. Different Baalabatim can accomplish great things. And so it's a schus to be part of a Kol where the leadership themselves are constantly pushing themselves to the utmost to set an example where the Yungalite feel as well they can continue to steig in Ruchnius. So today's shir should be Eliyahu Nishmas of Nachman of Shlomo Zalman. I had this chus of meeting him only once at the time before I came to St. Louis, and he told me a chiddush in a chiluk between Kiveger Sarachin and Gilyon HaShas and Kiveger Sarachin and Chedushim, and Baruch Shem, I remember it and I've used it numerous times since then. But we're not going to discuss any of Kiveger's kashas right now, at least that I know of. I'd like to discuss an idea. To me, it was a chiddush. It came together as a chiddush this year, and appreciating the nace of Chanukah more. And I'm going to preface that's a chiddush. And for those who follow with me to the end, if you don't agree, it's okay, because I don't have very strong support for what I'm going to say. But I think it's exciting, and could be emes nonetheless. The Gemara and Shabbos will start with a couple of the more popular Maimonides that we're familiar with, just to quickly get us into the right setting here. So the Gemara and Shabbos and Chofal from Abay is introducing to us the basics of Chanukah. Says the 8 days of Chanukah was represent, and you know, as we know, there was the war. Shenichnasu, the first wide line of the Gemara there in source one. Shenichnasu Yevanim Lehecha, when Yevanim came into the base of Migdash, Timbu Kol Hashmanim Rachman Litzlan, they defiled all the oil, the whole base of Migdash really. Shebehecha Ukshagavra Malchus base Chashmanoi. So now, when the Chashmanoi were successful in battle, the Natzchum, and they were victorious, and they conquered and they wiped out the Yevanim from Eretz Yisrael. So they searched, they were on a search, they were on a mission, and they can only find one jug of oil that was still sealed properly with the Kohen Gadol's quality seal. You know, it was sealed for quality purposes. It was only enough in that shemen, as we know, to light one day. A miracle happened, and it lit for 8 days. Okay, so we're all familiar, we learned from the youngest of age the basic story of Chanukah. This Gemara is full of numerous questions. I'd like to focus on three questions right now that might not be the most perplexing, but something I would like to cover as we move forward. Number one, who is the Kohen Gadol that signed? Who is the equality seal over here that made sure that this oil was kosher? We don't have precedent in other places in Chazal that the Kohen Gadol was the one who had to overlook. He was the Mashkiach to make sure that the oil was kosher for the Menorah. The Kohen Gadol had a lot of other things, a lot of other jobs to do. Why was he particularly busy here making sure this oil was certified? I mean, you can hire somebody respectable and responsible to take care of it. Why did it have to be Dafka the Kohen Gadol? Which Kohen Gadol? Number two, it says Botku, they were searching. Did they have? You can knock off this diak, but perhaps you could say there's a diak here that Botku, they were searching because they knew they were looking for something particular. They weren't just, you know, they didn't say they were looking around for all the simoni akitayres. They're looking around for behemoths that were kosher. They were looking for something for particular. They were looking particular for a pach shel shemen. Why weren't they looking for everything else? I'm sure the Beis HaMikdash was a mess. All the kelim that they used, the various cups they used to collect the blood of the karbanis and the spoons and everything. They had lots of, the Beis HaMikdash was full of kelim and full of ingredients they needed for all the various avodah. Why particularly were they looking for a pach shemen? And number three, the lashon is v'hedliku mimenu shmoyne yom. They lit from it 8 days. What's it? Is it the oil, or is it the pach shemen? You'll say, what's the difference? Well, there might be a difference as we go on. V'hedliku, they lit from it for 8 days. So just hear the question for now. We'll try to bring it out more as we go on. What did they light from? They light from the oil, or did they light from the pach shemen? With these three questions, let's move on to the famous Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef in source number two was the one who, not necessarily the first one who asked the question, but he got coined with the term Beis Yosef's question. First, he prefaces his remarks by saying the reason why they had to wait 8 days no matter what was either because they were all Tameh, so it took 7 days for the purification process, for the Tahara, or because practically, in order to get back and forth to get the oil, from up north in Eretz Yisrael, it was a four-day journey back and forth, so it would take them 8 days to get an oil. Okay, so now the Beis Yosef comes with this famous question, why do we need 8 days of Hanukkah? As we all know, 7 days should be sufficient because the first day wasn't an ace, as the Gemara just said, there was enough oil to last 1 day, so only 7 days left for the miracle. Now, Rabbi Florence told me he has the Sefer at home, 500 answers. That's great. There's a lot of answers to this question. Beis Yosef himself offers three suggestions, and we'll try to discuss some nafkah minas between them. The Beis Yosef says, it's about halfway down, and the Beis Yosef says, V'yesh lo'imar. The first answer he suggests is, Shechilku shemen shebepach l'ches chalokim. They had this little jug of oil, only enough for one night. You know, for argument's sake, we'll just call it 8 ounces or 7 ounces. 7 ounces of oil, and they split it in, you know, enough to burn 1 ounce per night, whatever it is. And so each night they put in one eighth of that pach, and even though it was such a small amount of fuel, nonetheless the fire kept burning even with such a small amount of fuel. So therefore even the first night was an eighth because it burned to the morning and there was only enough in there to burn for a short amount of time. That's option one. So the nace was that even the first night was an ace because they put such a small amount of oil in and it still lasted 8 days. And the fire still burnt till the morning. And that was went for 8 days. Number two, says the Beis Yosef, it's about two-thirds of the way down, beginning of the line. After they put the oil into the menorah, kashir, the right amount, nishar hapach mole, this pach was miraculous in the fact that it didn't empty. So again, they had their pach, which had enough oil in it for one night. They pour in, they fill the whole, they thought they emptied the whole pach, and they see that's still at the fill line. The oil jug is still full. So therefore, you see the first night, there's also an ace, because the first night also, the pach miraculously filled back up. Or option three says the Beis Yosef, Inami, Shebalel Harishay Nostu Kol Hashem and Shebeneiris. They filled up the menorah, similar to what we said before, they filled up, they emptied the whole pach the first night. V'dolku Kol Laila, and it burnt the whole night, it kept going. U'bebaiker Matzu, Haneris Malayim Shemen, V'chein B'chol Laila, in the morning they came. It wasn't that the oil was ever consumed. None of the oil was ever consumed. So they only filled up the menorah once. The pach was empty, but the oil never ever burned physically. And therefore, every night it was filled. It was already full from the night before, which is, that means the fuel was burning, but never being consumed. So these are the three terutz that the Beis Yosef himself gives to the question. Option number one, again, the Beis Yosef says, is that they split up the oil into 8 equal parts, very small segments. And every night they put in a little bit, but it burned till the morning. Option two, the Beis Yosef says, was that they emptied the pach, but the pach automatically refilled upon empty. And number three, says the Beis Yosef, they filled up the menorah, and seemingly they can get rid of the pach because the menorah stayed full, and it never the fire never consumed all the fuel. These are the three answers of the Beis Yosef. Comes along the Taz. I didn't quote the Taz, I just quoted it from the Kli Chemdan, source number three, but I'll just speak it out. The Taz in Shulchan Aruch has a challenge with the Beis Yosef's Mahalach. He doesn't like it so much. And he wants to suggest his own answer, which is really a twist on one of the Beis Yosef's answer. He comes from a Zoyar. The Zoyar says that you can't have a nace on anything which is a Kli Reka. In order for a bracha to happen, in order to be Mizbarech, it has to be something there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a multiply. You have $1, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it, that dollar all of a sudden turns into $100. But if you have nothing, and to get from nothing to something, according to the Taz, that's not really going to happen based on the Zohar, he says. And therefore, he says it must be that Al Karchach says the Taz, I'm just reading from the beginning of the Kli Chemda in source number three, how he paraphrases the Taz. V'lenisraf kol Hashem, and it must be that all the oil was not burned out, because then the nace would not have happened. Because ein bracha chal al Kli Rekon. Al Karchach tegam alay lishoyin hoye nace, meaning he's learning that also the first night the oil was not completely consumed. Whether he learns like the second answer or the first or the third answer, meaning that they hadn't actually refilled it or they didn't refill the candles exactly, it's not clear to me, but the point is that there was always some oil left in the menorah, and that's what kept it going. But then he brings from the Chiddush Yerim, he brings from the Ger Rebbe, and he says the Ger Rebbe said he's not so disturbed by this problem of the Taz because he has a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara tells us, on the top of the left column, he says, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara there has a question, Boy Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira asks in Menachos, Chitin Shiyardu Ba'ovim Mahu. You have wheat. And according to the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, what it means is that wheat rained from heaven. There was some miraculous wheat that comes down from heaven. The Gemara wants to know, is it kosher from Menachos or not? And the Gemara gets into a discussion that it's kosher for menachas, but it's not kosher for shtei halechem, because the Gemara makes a drasha, mimosh vaysechem, it has to be from the physical land, and this wheat was not harvested from physical land, therefore it's not going to be kosher. So he says, u'me'ata, this is a couple lines down, the left column, hachanami, kivan da yedeya nesu, imkein lahav Hashem en zayitz. Just like we see that for shtei halechem, it has to be grown from the ground, so too, according to the way I'm understanding the chidush harim, is that the shemen zayis has to be a product of or grows from the ground. So it must be that the oil, in order for it to be kosher for the neis, has to be that it came from real shemen zayis. The b'neis chanukah hayu bracha, meaning he makes a chiluk like this between a bracha and a neis. A bracha is when you have something, again, then it gets multiplied, like I said before, the dollar, and then it turns into somehow, miraculously, that multiplies. That's a bracha. A nes is if you would have something from nothing. He says it must be that the nes of Chanukah, even though we call it a nes, was really a bracha. Because we don't want the Shemen Zayis to come from nothing, because if the Shemen Zayis would just have miraculously appeared, then it would be a problem that it wouldn't be kosher for the menorah, because Shemen of nes is not Shemen Zayis. In order to have Shemen Zayis, it's got to grow from the ground. It's got to grow from a tree, be cultivated and plucked and pressed, etc., go through the whole process. So in order for this oil to be kosher for the menorah, it must be, says the Chiddush HaRim, that it was shemen bracha. Shemen bracha means that it was from olive oil, and then it just had it miraculously kept coming, but never stopped. So as long as you have the original shemen zayis continuing, it's like, so to speak, it's sort of like diluting it. Not really, because it wouldn't be kosher if it's diluted it, but since you have the original shemen zayis there in the pach, says the Chiddush HaRim, that's going to be kosher. So to recap what we have so far, we have the Beis Yosef's question, we have Beis Yosef's three answers, how exactly this happened. Now we have a Chiddush HaRim explaining that it can't be that it was really Shem and Nes. It can't be that it was completely miraculous oil, because that would be not kosher for the menorah. It must be that it was what we call Shem and Bracha, just that the Shem and Zayis that was in the Pach, or in the menorah, multiplied and became more abundant, and that was what burned for 8 days. That's Chiddush HaRim. Comes along the Talmidim of Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and they say that Reb Chaim Brisker, some say that Reb Chaim Brisker said a similar teretz to what the Chiddush HaRim was bothered by. And this is, I quoted it in source number 4 from a kuntres that was put out. We have it here in the shul in the back. It's called Kuntres HaMayadim Beis Brisk. It's from different Talmidim of Reb Chaim Brisker or the Brisker Rav, and different ideas that they said in the name of their Rabbeim, Brisker Tayers for all different Mayadim. And this is quoting from a kuntres called Yagdil Torah that was published in Reb Chaim's lifetime. This is important. This kuntres was published right in Reb Chaim's lifetime, so it was printed, it wasn't from his pen, but it was printed in his lifetime. It was penned by Reb Chatzkel Abramsky Zatzal, a Talmud of Reb Chaim. And he brings down that Reb Chaim was disturbed by the second answer of the Beis Yosef. Again, the second answer of Beis Yosef was that they had the Pach Shemen, they poured the Pach Shemen into the menorah. The Pach filled up the whole menorah, but never got emptied. It miraculously got recharged, refilled automatically. So Reb Chaim asks, where it's underlined, he says, V'hikshe, imkein, heich yotzu by lahalakas ha-menorah. How is that oil kosher for lying in the menorah? Hazeh having shemen denes. The second night, it's going to be completely miraculous because you emptied out the whole Pach, and somehow the Pach stayed full. V'loi shemen zayis, v'anan shemen zayis, you know, we need olive oil. Says Kushazumu for Semes Kvar B'Shem Agoyin Reb Chaim Brisk Shlita Zatzal. This question is already well known in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, and he says Hainu must be then in order for the nace to have happened in a kosher way. It must be that what they did was that they poured the oil in. There was some oil always left from the original oil. So he learns more like the third teretz of the Beis Yosef that they took the pach. They poured it into the menorah, and maybe some of it burned a little bit, or maybe none of it burned at all, and the point is that oil kept on going, so the quantity of the oil that they poured in had a long last, like the Energizer, right? It lasted much longer than typical oil would have lasted, and that's not considered Shemen Nes in the fact that it's not kosher from there, because again, since it came from the original Shemen, it's a stretched out Shemen, that would be kosher. So again, at this point, we have the Chiddush HaRim and Reb Chaim Brisker saying a similar idea that in order for the nes to be kosher, in order for the oil to be kosher oil, because otherwise it's going to be shemen nes and not shemen zayis, it must be there was some oil left still originally from the original shemen zayis zach, and then that just continued going for a longer period of time. Skip number 5 for a minute on the next page. Go to number 6. This chiddush that said over the name of Rav Chaim, for some reason, it caused a big tumult in the Brisker Talmidim. And in the Sefer Daf al Daf, it's a contemporary author. He just is malakit from many different places, just the easiest place to get all the information from. He quotes from the Rosh Shiva from Tifrach, from Menachem Mann, who says that he met once an Alta Yid. When he was a young boy, he met an Alta Yid who had seen Rav Chaim. And this Yid went over to Rav Chaim Brisker and wanted to talk to him about his chiddush on Hanukkah. Wanted to talk to him about the chiddush of the fact that Rav Chaim said it can't be that it was Shemen Neis. It had to be that it was really Shemen Zayas. It just got extended a life. And Rav Chaim told this bacher, Ichab das kein mol nit gefrekt. I never asked such a question. It's lehoya v'loy nivra. So now, of course, all the Briskers get very excited. Did Rav Chaim say it? Did Rav Chaim not say it? And this, of course, becomes part of the Messiah of Teresh Shabbat Peh and Brisk, whether or not Rav Chaim said this kash or not. Then they go on and on about what Roberto Soloveitchik said. Of course, Rav Chaim never said it. And Rav Dovid Soloveitchik said, of course, Rav Chaim never said it. And other family members also said Rav Chaim never said it. But so the family denies it. But all Talmidim Rav Chaim, the Stipler writes it. Rav Chatzkel Abramsky writes it. Others bring it as well. So if you're into the Brisker hack, you'll listen to some. This is a big Hanukkah Brisker hack, whether or not Rav Chaim had this problem or not. And okay, it's an interesting point. But whether or not Rav Chaim said it or not, we still have the Chelush Harim saying this idea that in order for the Shemen to be kosher, it must have been that the original Shemen Zayis was still left. Some Roisham of original Shemen Zayis was there, and that was also what kept on burning. And the nace was that that Shemen Zayis got stretched to the max, and that kept on going, because otherwise it would have been Shemen Nace and not Shemen Zayis. Okay. We'll come back to 5 a little later. Let's go on now to number 7. I'm going to take a break for a second from this question and digress a little bit. We asked before, so who was the Kohen Gadol? Who was the one who had signed and sealed this Pach Shemen? So last year, Dov Zephyrin came over to me. He comes over to me a lot of times and shtups the writers in my face for me to read them, tell me if I like them or not. And usually I try to be polite and I say thank you very much. I look at them and I give it back to him. Last year he shtup me a Shvili Pinchas from a Pinchas Freeman Shlita, the Reish Kolem Bells. And it was a wild chiddush, and I said, okay, very nice, thank you. And then this year it hit me again, because I think we're going to expand on it. So Shvili Pinchas Shlita, he says a chiddush, and he says he's very nervous to say this chiddush, but once he said it, so we can say it again. He says, he brings the following. He says, Rochash Libi, this is the beginning of Source 7, my heart is shaking, I'm emotional over here, I'm going to say an amazing idea to put forth here in this chiddush of who is the Kohen Gadol. He brings a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara in Saita is not discussing Hanukkah at all. The Gemara in Saita is having a discussion of whether or not Malachim could understand Lashon Aramis, so they only speak Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, it's a question, because when we daven Aramis, do the Malachim hear it or not hear it? It's a whole interesting discussion. Says the Gemara, Bar brings a raya that Malachim, or wants to bring a raya, the Gemara attempts to bring a raya, the Malachim understand Aramis, they understand the Lashon of the Gemara from the following statement. Yechanan Kohen Gadol, it's bolded over there in the first paragraph on the right side. Excuse me, Yechanan Kohen Gadol, Shama Baskomi Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Gemara there says that Yechanan Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he heard a heavenly voice emanate Shu Omer that said, Nitzchu Talya de Ozlu La'agcha Karvo La'antuchya. Now before we touch those words, realize those words are Aramaic. So he's hearing a Baskol. It wasn't the Shechina talking. It was already after Nevuah had stopped. It was the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Baskol, some Malach transmitting a heavenly idea that's speaking to him in Aramaic. Okay, so now what do the words mean? It means basically that the young lads who went to fight in Antuchia, someplace in all the way up in Turkey or something like that, were victorious in battle. What's this talking about? So he brings the B'nai Yisoschar, the Munkach Rebbe explains that this is Yechanan Kohen Gadol, the father of Matasyo, from the famous Al Nisim, Mimei Matasyo ben Yechanan Kohen Gadol. So Yechanan Kohen Gadol hears this Baskol Yom Kippur, Hakavon Abazeh, says the Bnei Yisoschar, Shehiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levasel Yechanan Kohen Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling a message to Yechanan Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur Man Yom Kippur. Har Beishonim Lefnei Neis Chanukah, this is numerous years, not exactly clear how many years, but numerous years before the miracle of Chanukah. Al HaNeis Shal Chanukah She'oimei Lehisrachesh Mimei Matasyahu B'noi, and the miracle of Chanukah will happen that in Antuchia, somehow represents the idea of Greece, your children will go to battle against Antuchia. It won't be literally in Antuchia, it'll be in Eretz Yisrael, and they will be victorious. So Yechanan Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, in the middle of a Kodesh HaKadoshim, here's this Aramaic Baskel coming out, which the Gemara uses to prove that perhaps Malachim speak Aramaic. Okay, we'll leave that discussion for a different time perhaps, but now we're getting back to that right now. The way B'nai Yisrael learns this Gemara is that he hears about, he gets the message, somehow he understands it's talking about Hanukkah, And now says Rav Pinchas Friedman Shlita, based on this, what does he do? He goes ahead in the top of the, in the middle paragraph there. After Yochanan and Gogol heard this baskol, and somehow he understood from it there's going to be a problem with the nes, with the shmonim, all the oils are going to become defiled. So he says, his boinin bedaito the shema hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu galus leidovers. Now why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? So he says, at the end of the paragraph there, the middle paragraph, it says, umizeh hiskil lahavin, from this he understood, shutzarach lahaktim refu lamaka. He has to do something now to set up, to make sure that his descendants will be able to have olive oil. Lastly, pach echad shel shemen tar. So he takes a jug, a flask of shemen zayis, chasim b'chesomei, and he seals it. Particularly, v'hichbi as a pach hazeh beheichol shenizgala akarkach l'chashmonayim be'echanukah, and hides it somewhere in some nook and cranny in the Beis HaMikdash, so that his descendants will ultimately see it, and because they had this messiah, they're going to be successful, and they're going to come and look for this pach shemen. Why they're looking for, why they're being botku, why they're looking for a pach shemen, because they already had it been messiah, says the Pinchas Friedman, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol hit something. Now he's nervous. How is he going to say this chiddush by himself? This is a massive chiddush. So he says he found the kolboy. The kolboy is from the Rishonim, and it's on top of the left column there. The kolboy says, he quotes the basic story of Chanukah, we said before with the Gemara, but the kolboy adds one important point. He says, Shehayamunach b'toich shida kavua b'kaisel. The box, the oil, the jug of oil was placed in a box that was somehow some secret safe somewhere in some wall somewhere, and exactly where in the Beis HaMikdash. Shehayachol l'asit, there was no way for the Greeks to have moved it. V'hayapascha sagur, they opened it and it was still sealed. V'chasim b'chaisomei shal Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So the Kolbei says clearly doesn't speak out the whole chiddush where Pinchas Friedman says it exactly, but he's expounding on it that this pach shemen was put deliberately there by Yochanan Kohen Gadol years before the Chanukah story. Why? Because he heard from Baskol that his descendants are going to have this challenge with the Yevonim, and so he already was makdim refuah. He was. Makdim Refu Lamaka, he helped out already now in order to set up his generations for the future, and therefore he put away this Pach Shemen. So if you accept this Chiddush at this point, it makes a lot of sense. Botku, they're coming to search. What are they searching for? They weren't just looking stam to see, let's make an assessment of the damage, how much things were broken, what wasn't broken. They're looking because they know that there's a Pach Shemen waiting for them somewhere, and they're trying to look and find out, where is this Pach Shemen? This is the Chiddush of the Shvilei Pinchas. Now I want to take it to the step one step further. And we're going to have the Shach ala Torah, the Sifsei Koyin ala Torah. Now, many of us are familiar with the Sefer HaShach. There is a different Sefer called the Shach, which is written on two Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch, on Chayish Mishpah and Yerodea. It's a comprehensive work on the Shulchan Aruch, and it's called LaHalacha all the time. Nothing to do with this Sefer. This Sefer, Sifsei Koyin ala Torah, it's written by a Mekubal, Rav Mordechai HaKoyin from Tzvas. He was a Talmud of the Talmud of the Arizal. So going back, way back into the early days of Kabbalah, he has a sefer on Chumash. I'm not familiar with many of the things he says, but this is one of the things that I heard quoted many years ago from him, and I looked it up. So it says like this. The pasuk in Vayishlach says, Vayavoser Yaakov Levada, Yaakov remained by himself. This is when he went to go back to get the small packages that he left behind. So he brings a medrash, which the Balei Tosfos bring as well. Amru Chazal, Al Tirki Levadai, Ela Likadoi. Don't read it that way. Vos Yaakov Levadai, he remained by himself, but take the word Levadai and say that it really means Likadoi went back for his jugs. What jug is he talking about? So he goes on to explain that in the previous parasha, in Parashas Vayetze, when Yaakov went to lay down to take his nap, we all know he went to sleep, 12 stones, he wakes up in the morning, they become one stone. The pasuk says he wakes up, he realizes a miracle happened to him, he takes oil and he pours it on the stones to make a mizbeach, he's mekadesh it with oil. So he had this special oil. Says the Shach al Torah, this oil, he takes this kad that he had, he pours it out, and he realizes, hey, there was, 10 ounces in this jug beforehand, I poured it all over the Mizbeach, the jug is still full. Yaakov Avinu says, wow, this is a miraculous kad of oil. So the Shach says, he brings down, this is what he's saying from his Rebbeim, Vu Hashemen shenimshchu imeno hamishka v'chol kelov. So Yaakov Avinu had left this jug on the other side, and realized, oy vey, this is the miraculous jug that I had gotten. Somehow I got this jug when I woke up and I poured it on the Avonim for the Mizbeach, and he had to go back and get it. He went back and got it, and then says the Shach, it's the same oil that was used for the Shemen HaMishcha. This is the oil that was used for Shemen HaMishcha for the Mishkan and Kol Kelov, v'Hamizbeach, v'Aaron Ubanov, and when Moshe Rabbeinu put Shemen HaMishcha on Aaron to make him the Kohen Gadol, etc., v'Hamalachim, and when all the kings were anointed, or the original kings were anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, Va'adayin kuloi kayim, Says the Shach, it's still somewhere hidden today. Kemash Amru Chazak, the Gemara tells us in Harius and Krisus, Zeli the Dorisechem will be for me forever, for generations. The Gemara makes a drasha that this Shemen HaMishcha lasts forever. Now, says the Shach, here comes the Chiddush. V'hu kad Hashem en shal hatzarfis, sha'omar lo aliyo kad Hashem aloy sechala. Just a quick recap, in Malachim Aleph and Perek Yud Zayin, Aliyo Navi is on the run, he's hiding for a while, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to come out from the cave, and to go to Tzarfis and find this woman there. She's an Amana and she'll support you. Eliyahu Navi goes to, and he finds this woman, and she mamash has nothing. But Eliyahu says, "Listen, I'm Eliyahu, and you know you got a Akash Baruch said to support me." She's like, "I got nothing." He says, "Don't worry, whatever you give me, you won't be lacking. Meaning, it won't cost you anything at the end of the day." And she had this oil, and she kept pouring it, and never ran out. It's the same jug that continues the Shach. It's the same jug of oil that the wife of Avadja had. That's in Malachim Beis and Perek Dalid, when Elisha tells the woman to keep pouring and to keep getting more and more kelim, right? So Yaakov Avinu risked his life to go back across the river to get this jug because he realized this jug was miraculous. The miracle happened to him. And he saw Baruch Katrai, according to the Shach, that this jug has miraculous abilities. It's going to be used in future generations. So he went back and get it. That's the amazing words of the Shach. Now, a few weeks ago, Ryan Gold Shlita was here for Shabbos. And he very quickly referenced the Shach. He said it's from Chassidish Sfarim, but it's really from the Mekubalim. And he said the idea is that it's just the idea that it's Bekoyach. And that's the idea. The Marshal really says this. The Marshal says a similar idea in his Chedushim Al HaTorah and the Uriah Shloima. And the Marshal says that Yaakov Avinu risked his life to go get a pach. So b'schus his risking a life to go back and be careful to get the pach shemen, his future generations were zoicha that they got a pach shemen. That's one way to learn. The Marshal learns like that. But seemingly from the words of the Shach inside, it doesn't seem like that. It seems like there was something physical here. But keep in mind, I took one jump because the Shach didn't say anything about Chanukah. All the Shach said so far was that Yaakov Avinu used it, it was miraculous. They used it for the Shemen HaMishcha, for the Kelim, and for Aaron HaKayin, and for all the Malachim. Eliyahu HaNavi told the woman to use it. Elisha told Eshet Avadah to use it, and it's a miraculous thing. It'll be around forever. Nothing to do with Chanukah so far. Comes along the Birchas Shmuel, in source number 9, which is on the 5th page. Now, Birchas Shmuel, to those who learned in yeshivas, might be familiar with a different sefer Birchas Shmuel. Today is the name of Svarim that have the same name, but are different authors. So in yeshiva, Birchas Shmuel always refers to a Baruch Ber. Birchas Shmuel al HaTorah was written by Rabbi Aaron Shmuel Kandinover, or Kandinover, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, however they pronounce last names in those days. He's not so popular in the yeshiva circles, except for that he does have he has many svarim, but one of the svarim that are more popular is the Tver Shmuel on the bottom of the Rosh. We're looking back at the Gemara, on almost every Masechet in Shas says Hagai's Tver Shmuel on the Rosh, and that's the same Mechaber of Sefer Birchas Shmuel. So he brings this Shach al HaTorah, and it's a hard print, so just trust me that most of it is quoting the Shach. Basically paraphrasing it, but the last line where I underlined it, he makes one extra haysafa. He says, "Vihine pashut hu be'enai." Says the Birchas Shmuel, "It's pashut in my eyes." Shagam oisay hapach nizgala gam ken lebnei chashmonai. This pach also was revealed to the chashmonai. Now, that's an amazing chiddush. Shach al Torah didn't say it. The Gemara never says it. The Rishonim don't say it. Comes on the Birchas Shmuel. He's an achron. He's an early achron, and says to him, "It's pashut that the Chashmonaim had that pach." This chiddush continues in a similar idea in the Sefer Kav HaYashar, which is actually the son of the Birchas Shmuel. Kav HaYashar is a very unique sefer. It's like a Musar, Hashkafa, Halacha sefer, a Kabbalah sefer, all blended into one. As a Tzvi Hirsch Kandinover, the son of the Birchas Shmuel. And the Kav HaYashar says a similar idea, not exactly the same as his father, but he says, V'achakach bo b'nei Chashmonaim the Beis HaMikdash, the Chashmonaim came to reclaim the Beis HaMikdash and clean it out. They found only one jug of oil. So far that's all simple, that's from the Gemara. And now he says the Chiddush. With that jug, they used it to anoint the kings. Any Kohen Gadol that had Mashiacha. So he says, this jug that they found, he doesn't bring it all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, he doesn't bring it all the way back to Eshes Avadja and Eliyahu HaNavi, but he says it was the same jug of oil that was used for Shem Mashiach for Malchei Yisrael and for the Kohanim Gedolim. Now there's numerous questions with this pshat, with the Kav HaYashar saying, with Birchas Shmuel saying, the Chidah in his drashas goes on and on is very bothered by it. But what I did find in the Sefer Shabbos Shalmi, which is a classic Sefer on Masechta Shabbos, not from the Kabbalistic collection, from the regular Kuritz Mefarshim on Masechta Shabbos, the Shabbos Shalmi, he says, he quotes his Kava Yashar and his Chidushim on Chanukah, and he raises the question. He says, first of all, Shemen HaMishcha is not kosher for Menorah. We need Shemen Zayizach. Shemen HaMishcha, the Gemara tells us in Harius and Krisis, Shemen HaMishcha was cooked with certain types of roots, and it went through a whole process, and it was, whatever it is, the whole procedure of Shemen HaMishcha cannot be Shemen Zayizach. We need Shemen Zayizach for the Menorah. So what does the Kava Yashar, and he doesn't quote the Pircha Shmuel, but the same idea, what does he mean? This is the same Pach that use it for all these things. So he suggests as follows. Ela kavona sarav zal loymar pshad, he's quoting the Kava Yashar. Pshad in the Kava Yashar is that pach shematzu, this pach that they found, hoya oisai ha pach to hoya mishtamshim. It was the same jug that they used, but oisai pach kishayitzricham nimshaych b'shemen ha-mishcha. They had the master jug of Shemen ha-mishcha, father jug. For some reason, whenever they wanted to use from that jug, they wouldn't pour from it directly onto the people or the keil that they were using to anoint. They would take from the mother jug, the main jug, and pour into a secondary jug. And that jug, they would go ahead and pour onto the kelim or the people. And the kahanim of that generation, of the Neis Chanukah, before Neis Chanukah, malu hapachahu mishem and zayzach. So they had this special pach that they had used for many numerous occasions beforehand. They used it to anoint the king, they used it for the Kohen Gadol, according to the Birch HaShmuel and the Shach. They used it for numerous things beforehand. This pach had a history. And they took that pach, not that they filled it with Shemen HaMishcha, but they filled it with Shemen Zayis, lahalais ner tamid, to use for the menorah, v'chasmu v'gonzu, loishay Shemen HaMishcha mamish, not that with Shemen HaMishcha in that pach, zui kavanas harav, this is pshat in the Kava Yashar, the Gavar Rabba, Omar Milsa, v'tzorach adaktek uluvara, the Kava Yashar was a great tzaddik. Just keep in mind, the Kava Yashar was zeicha, not in his lifetime, already after his lifetime, the Kava Yashar was printed, let's say, roughly 350 years ago, it went through over 80 printings already since that time. It's a very popular or very well-used sefer in many circles in Klal Yisrael. So the Shabbos Shalmi says you have to understand the depth of what the Kava Yashar meant. He wasn't just saying something that, didn't have a teichen to it. And he means that they had this special tzluchis that they used, not that they filled with Shana Mishcha, but they filled with Shemen Zayis. Okay, so let's digest what we have so far. We start off with the whole question of, they were looking for something particular, they found it, it lasted one day, what was going on? So we went into the whole shtickle with the Shemen HaNeis, is Shemen HaNeis kosher, Shemen HaNeis like, is not kosher. So we said that the Chidush HaRim and Reb Chaim maybe said an idea that it wasn't really Shemen HaNeis, it was miraculous, but in the fact that the original oil had an extended life. It extended, and therefore was still kosher for the menorah. Then we went into this whole idea of who was the Kohen Gadol that put it away. It was Yechevin Kohen Gadol. Why he put it away, because they heard the Baskel that came out that there's going to be a reason that there's going to be a Yevanim that are going to attack, and there's going to be, everything's going to become Tame. So he foresaw what was going to happen, so he stowed it away. Which Keli did he use particularly? He took the special Keli, according to these Mefarshim, that had a history of being miraculous and being successful, of helping Klai Yisrael, whatever they needed for. And so he took this special Kli that was used, had the history on it, and put it away, and he sealed it particularly. Now we could turn back for a minute to source number 5 on the third page. Comes along a different Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and this is a letter that Imre Emes wrote to his son, who became the Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. And it's printed in Michtavei Torah from the Ger Rebbe's. And he says as follows. First he tells his, he's writing a letter to his son. He says, yesterday some Rav from Hungary came to visit me. Ger was in Poland. And some Rav Meforsen say, well, someone, one of the Rebbe's L'chayer from Hungary came to visit me, and he asked me a question about the Gemara Menachis, like we discussed briefly before, about Chitim Shiyardu Ba'avim, the wheat that comes down miraculously, if it's kosher for Menachis. And he asked, there's a Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Adam Rishon, as we know, is not allowed to eat meat. But the Gemara says that the Malachim were in Gan Eden with him, and they roasted him meat. So how can they eat him, how can they serve him the meat? The Basher said, Tzolom HaShemayim, Adam Rishon Loi Basar. So the Gemara says that meat, it wasn't from a regular animal, it came from Shemayim, so that's not meat, that's not fleishiks. That's, that maybe tastes like meat, it feels like meat, but it's not real meat. So this Rebbe asked the Imre Emes, Kimoy Kein Lo Chitim, the Chayot Pasha, that Chitim that comes from the heaven should not be real Chitim. Might feel like Chitim, might taste like Chitim, might act like Chitim, but it can't be real. Just like the Gemara says that meat that fell from the heaven is not real meat, so the Chayot, wheat that falls from heaven also shouldn't be kosher. So the Ger Rebbe told him, no, that which the Gemara says, it's not basar, hainu basar min hachaya. Shezeh huzer adam rishon. Only means it's not meat in regards to the fact that it's not meat from a living animal, and that's what adam rishon was told that he's not allowed to eat. But it's basar in the fact that it tastes like basar, and therefore chitim would be a similar vein. Okay, now he says back to Chanukah, where it's underlined. It says, this Hungarian Rebbe asked the Imre Emes, so back to our question, that the olive oil from the Nes of Chanukah should not have been kosher for the mitzvah. So says the Rebbe, Ger Rebbe, Kfar Yishavti Zer Rabbi Yisbesham, I already answered this many years earlier, the Yishleimar, the Benes Chanukah, Haya HaNes Bepach, the Nes was in the jug, Haya, Boy Midas Mua Tamachzik Es HaMaruba, it was a little jug that held a lot, it was a bottomless jug, V'Haya Be'emes Harbe Shemen Zayis, it was really a lot of Shemen Zayis in this jug, Nimtza Gamba Laila Harisha Mishemech Omnes, therefore even the first night was a miracle, because really that jug, similar to the second answer of the Beis Yosef, was always filled. Now, the amazing part is if you look in the footnote over there in Dalid, which is the printers who when they printed these letters of the Ger Rebbe, they add the following. And this is from the, I don't know who put this in, just says at the end, it's from the Kisvei HaChassidim. The Chassidim said this over in the name of the Imre Emes. Shamai Sahayat Kach, this is what happened. Koidam Melchemes HaChashmenoyim, before the Melchama of the Chashmenoyim, before the miracle of the Chanukah happened with the battles, Lochu B'migdosh Pach Shal Shloisha V'chatzi Lug, they took a very large jug full of olive oil, that's kosher for menorah. V'shafchu l'toicha, they pour into a smaller jug. Excuse me, shloisha v'chatzi lug shemen, the amount needed for the menorah. V'lo hayamale, but the kli wasn't filled. So you take a 36 ounce pitcher. You have an 8 ounce cup, and you pour 8 ounces in, and your cup is not full. So what do? You think it fell to the floor, but obviously in this case it didn't. So they keep pouring and pouring. V'lo hayamale, v'shafchu kein shmeina pa'amim achet esmale. They filled up the jug 8 times until then all of a sudden it became filled. V'ro'o b'zeh dover pela. They saw this was a miraculous jug. L'chein chosam ha-koyin gadol ha-sapach b'chosam. Therefore the Kohen Gadol signed it and sealed it with his seal. So I think if this whole pshat fits together very well with what we're saying. What was happening over here? We said Yechonin Kohen Gadol specifically wanted to put away Shemen Zayis. Why? Because he heard the basko that the Nes Chanukah is going to be happening, and he knew that their oil is going to be at risk of becoming tamei, so he goes ahead and he hides away oil. Why is he hiding away oil? Because he's worried about they're not going to have oil. Which pach did he choose? He didn't just choose any random pach. He went, and what we were saying from the Shach and the Birch HaShmuel, he went and took this particular pach that already had a history of having a Nes happen to it. They take some Shemen Zayizach, fills it up 8 times, even though it only should hold one, and then he seals it off and he hides it in a particular place, so that when his descendants come, generation, whatever it is, years later, after the Nes Chanukah, to look for the oil, they're going to find it, and they're going to be satisfied and have the hanah and the geshmak of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down on them and smiling at them and realizing that the whole thing was orchestrated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that they should have the Nes of the Pach Shemen. So I want to just conclude with an amazing idea. Part of the amazing part of this is that this is the only time I've ever seen Rav Chatzkel, the Mashkiach, giving Pshat in a Chassidus Shemaisa. So this, just some backdrop, this is on the last page, in number 12. This is a shmuz of Chatzkel Levenshtein, Mashkiach of Mir Sed in Shanghai in Chanukah 1944. So just try to paint the picture. The yeshiva is on the run. They're in the middle of Nowheresville, Japan. There's a war going on. They don't know what's happening with their families. And Chatzkel is trying to mechazik the bachrim of the yeshiva. So he says that they say over about Rav Yitzchak Mibarditchev, that one time the Chassidim came over to him and they were complaining, Rebbe, the Paritz, it's not fair. The Paritz, he has all tanuge oilam hazeh. He has everything. He has all the money, all the wealth, all the pleasures of this world. He's living it up, and we're having such a hard time, that the Chassidim told the Rav Yitzchak Mibarditchev. So Rav Yitzchak said, it's true. The Paritz has kol tanuge oilam hazeh, but he doesn't have the hana of lighting the Chanukah licht. That's the Maisa. So it's a beautiful Chassidish Maisa. And if you're a Chassidish, you just walk away and say, wow, that's a great Maisa. The Rebbe told him you have the hana of the Chanukah licht, and you go home and you have kavana. But Rav Chatzkel wanted to explain, what was the pshat, what was Rabbi Yitzchak really telling his chassidim when he said that the Paritz doesn't have the hana of the Chanukah licht? So he says, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Achein ata, now we know you, ata you Hashem, are kel mistat, you are the hidden God, elekei Yisrael Mashiach, the God of the Jewish people, bring the salvation. So the Radak learned the pasuk that Achein, it's true, yes, we know, kein yomrehim, the goyim say, Ha'akum say v'cheinu b'emes, and it's true. You Hashem, you're a hidden God. She'ein chaniyo, we can't see our Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, Viata Lekei Yisrael, but to the God to the Jewish people, I mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he acts to Klal Yisrael, there we see Lekei Yisrael, we see Hashem Boishia when he brings forth them a salvation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhag in the world is always a way that we're not usually Zeicha to see the Yad Hashem in a real full way, and seeing a physical hand, so to speak, come out and deliver for us the goods. But says the Mashkiach, says Rabbi Rocham, he told the Bachram in the Yeshiva, but this is what we see on Chanukah, that we have the Nes Chanukah, Umaysra, he gave over the superpower of the day. Yavon was the superpower of the day, and there were the tremendous armies and the tremendous strength, and they fell to the hands of just a few Chaloshim, a few weak people, Vloy Zubovad, Elash Aslam, Gam Nes Pach Shasham. Not only did we win the war, but then we go into the Beis HaMikdash, and we find this whole miraculous Pach, the way we're explaining, it's really unbelievable, that was Yechel and Karen Gadol, signed it and sealed it, and took it with the miraculous Pach. He says that is something only a Yid could experience and see from the Nes Chanukah. Rak Bisha, I'm reading the words in the left column, it says, Rak Bisha Shehichlit Lishazek V'lotzeis Lamer Yehuda HaMakabi. We all, you know, from the youngest of age, we have these coloring books, we see Yehuda HaMakabi, we have a picture of this really mighty warrior, and he really looks like a real Hercules type of figure. Rachmar Lutzlan. Now, Chazal tell us he was really of superhuman strength, but there's no way in a million years, and no matter how strong you are, that you would have thought that you're going to be able, you and a couple of your brothers who are sitting and learning all day in Beis Medrash are now going to go out, and as strong as you are, you can rip a telephone book in half. Mazel tov. You're fighting against armies upon armies of people. It's really not going to get you too far. The only way he was able to do that is because he got together with his father and his brothers, and they had a Ma'etzes meeting, and they decided, for Klal Yisrael, this is what we need to do now. We need to go out. What's going to happen? Are we going to be successful? Won't be successful? That's not up to us. We decided that the proper hanhaga now is for Klal Yisrael to go ahead, and for us to have a kiyum is to fight against the Yavanim. That's what we have to do. Lamdeinu said that Rucham told them, Shekasha Adam Maskil is Chazek Velasas Mashatarach. When a person starts doing what he needs to do, Leman Kiyum HaTorah Mitzvah, in order to fulfill Torah Mitzvah, even if he sees that his strength is not going to make it to the end, it doesn't make a difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he has the right kavanas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitin Lais HaKoyches HaNetzroch Mo Latzliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him the ability to be Matzliach. So he ended off, Kishihudi Oymeru Mizboyne Beneiros, when a Yid stands by the Chanukah, he stands by Menorah and contemplates and thinks about this idea, V'niska B'chol Zeh Halay Hanot Tzerufa Hizu. This is a very geshmaka, deep pleasure that only a Yid can get. The Paritz, with all his pleasures, Hanuge Oylem HaZeh, can never get this geshmak. We should all be zeiche to the geshmak of Lichtigkeit of Ner Chanukah. Yashkeir.